Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Today on The Grave Talks, Demystifying Witches, a conversation with Holly Faust and Jen Plastini. Witchcraft is often misunderstood. Contrary to popular belief, it isn't about dark magic. At its core, it's about the power of the mind and spirit interacting with the world around us. Witches see the world as interconnected, harnessing natural energies, whether from the earth, the moon, or themselves, to bring about transformation, healing, and positive change. Modern witches are not figures of folklore, but real people who live in harmony with universal energy to manifest their desires and set intentions. So what is it like to be a witch in today's society? On this episode of The Grave Talks, we demystify witchcraft, exploring its ancient roots, modern practices, and its focus on self-awareness, empowerment, and connection to nature with Holly Faust and Jen Plastini. I'm excited today to talk about witches. And Holly Faust is back with me. You and I just did an episode that was very interesting called Investigating the Invisible. And we talked about you and your life. And as we were talking that day, it came out that you are a practicing witch.
Yep.
And I wanted to explore that. And you said, can I invite my friend Jen? So we have Jen Plastini as well, also a practicing witch. Thank you so much to both of you for joining me today. And I just want to kind of dive in and kind of, I think that a lot of people, not maybe everyone listening to this podcast, but I think there's a lot of people in general, when they hear practicing witch, they assume you both are worshiping the devil. And Jen, let's talk about, I'm going to start with you. Let's talk about that for a minute. How did that come about where the two things just seem to go together in a lot of people's minds?
Well, in paganism, there is what's known as the horned god, and he goes by a couple of different names. And basically, the early Christians turned the horned god into a devil or Satan. So we may worship a god that has horns, but it's not their version of the devil.
Is there a branch, let's call it, for, I'm not sure of the proper terminology, but say there's a witchcraft branch that does dabble in more black and more darker things?
Well, yeah, in all religion, there, right. Well, in all groups, there is that. There are witches who really focus solely on darker magic, and working with lower entities and things like that. I don't know that they're as plentiful as people seem to think. Most of us are kind of like middle ground. Like we do our best to not do negative things, but everything in magic, like any spell you do, is technically manipulation, which would be considered a gray area. It kind of comes down to whether or not you have permission to do it, or if you're just taking it upon yourself to do something for someone without their consent.
It is interesting because you do have some different practices. And sometimes I think when people don't know what it is that you're doing, they assume you obviously are doing the worst. So obviously, Holly, you are casting spells on people and wishing evil on everyone, I guess. You know what I mean? I think people just tend to fill in the blanks when they don't know. And they just think it must have evil intent. But when you and I were talking in the other episode, you said, you know, you, you could go to church and be sitting next to someone who practices witchcraft.
Yep.
Yep, totally. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, practicing Catholics. And, you know, for some reason, you know, Catholicism tends to lean more into the magical. And I think it's because of the ritual within, mm-hmm. you know, their mass. Because that's like magic in and of itself.
Yep.
That makes sense.
I was raised Roman Catholic. It's very, very much ritualistic and magic. It's about turning wine and bread into the body and blood of a living person. Like mm-hmm. that's magic.
Mm-hmm. And Jen, how did you then go from being raised Roman Catholic into even getting interested in witchcraft?
Well, honestly, it was when I first started comprehending the words that were being said in the Mass. And a lot of the part that sticks out to me is we would say, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed." And I thought, not worthy? Why am I not worthy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a kid. I didn't do anything. Why am I? You're like, what do you mean? Like, I took it very literally. I was like, you know. And then even further into that, I really liked being part of the ceremony. And so my grandmother would sit me on the end of the pew. And when it was time to bring up the gifts, they called it like the water and the wine to bring them to the priest. She would, you know, boot me out into the aisle. So I would be one of the ones to carry it up. And I kind of liked being part of the ritual. So I asked if I could be an altar boy. And they said no. Because I'm, in fact, not a boy. So that kind of put me off. And I always knew there was just something else, something different, something they're not telling me. I always just knew. And so when I was given the opportunity to stop going to religious instruction and was told I did not have to go to church, I took that as my opportunity to distance myself from it and just kind of go my own path.
Did you know someone who was into witchcraft, or did you just kind of stumble upon it, read about it?
I didn't really meet anyone until I was in high school. And by then I was already kind of interested on my own. I had already read books and, you know, I had spent my entire childhood out in nature. You know, I was picking berries and leaves and twigs and making who knows what out of it at my grandparents' house for as long as I could remember. And so when I met other people that were into witchcraft, they were the people that taught me what not to do because they were into some of the darker stuff.
Mm.
And I saw what they were doing and I was like, ooh, that doesn't seem right to me. And so I did learn a lot from them. And I still know some of these people and they've mellowed out a lot over the years. Some of them not so much. They still are, you know, trying to hex people left and right for what I feel are not really great reasons.
I dated that guy once, you guys. It didn't end well. He was always threatening to hex me. I'm like, where's this relationship going to go?
Right, right, right.
It's like, I can't live by your rules and your hexes. Now, Holly, you had a very different path. You were pretty much born into this. Like, this has been just part of your life.
Yeah. You know, my grandmother being a native indigenous Lakota, and my grandfather was basically a practicing pagan when he came here from Ireland. It was one of the reasons why they had to leave Ireland, because my grandmother being a Catholic and him not, it was very frowned upon. So I've always had it in my life, although I did spend a good majority of my childhood as a practicing Catholic because of my parents and my grandmother from Ireland. But I always had that magical side also included. So for me, I thought everybody, you know, did magic growing up. I thought everybody was involved in witchcraft and went to church. I didn't know that there was a separation at the time between the two and that the two couldn't exist together.
Did you experience, like, from your grandmother, sort of the, now we don't talk about that, Holly, We can talk about going to church, but this we don't talk about with everybody.
No, not really. You know, like in my house, it was, I think something, the magic part of it was looked upon as is a normalcy. Like we did not like what people expect with spells and stuff, but we were very focused on herbal things and connecting with the earth and, you know, taking care of ourselves with what the earth gave us.
Now, when you talk about magic, what exactly is that? Or maybe you can't even say exactly what it is, but what do you consider magic?
For me, it's energy. It's the energy that's all around us and learning how to harness that energy and bringing it in for the greater good or, you know, to, you know, in some cases for the not so good.
And when you say some cases for the not so good, like, think, of course, everyone just went, oh, because somebody made her mad and now she's going to put a spell on him.
No, not and, really.
You know what I'm
I
saying?
I think what we have within us and around us can be both positive and negative. And I don't always think like people think, oh, hexing is evil, but it's not always. Sometimes it's protection. It's something that people do to protect themselves.
Not the guy
and
I dated.
So, yeah, while we could be putting out positivity, but at the same time, when we start putting out that negativity, that energy is around us just as well. So it's, you know, taking and choosing what we're going to be using.
Because I think, like, my ex-boyfriend, he was the one, it was kind of to keep you in line. If you don't do what I want, this is kind of a consequence, which was really an evil way to treat someone.
Yeah, that's very manipulative.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's more abusive than
too.
It is, you know, magical, because even people that practice, at least in my experience, some of what you would think as a darker practice, you know, that's, they're not going to try to take someone's control away or their consent or their ability to be who they want to be or who they are.
I am glad I broke up with him. That was a long time ago. Now, what do you think, Jen, are some of the misconceptions about it? Or, you know, if you were at a dinner party, say with a group of people you don't know too well, and that came out, how would you, you know people are going to give you that weird look, like, what do you feel are some of the misconceptions?
People seem to think that witchcraft in and of itself is a religion, which it is not. It is a practice. It's a craft. And it's something people can do from any religion.
And when you say it's something they can do through any religion, expand on that just a little bit.
We all have little things that, like, we'll take Italian witchcraft, for instance. You will never catch an old school Italian admitting to being a witch, but they will throw salt over their shoulder and bless themselves three times before crossing, you know, the cemetery, or, you know, like all of the superstitions are rooted. The sign of the cross, for instance, it's an equal armed cross. It's for protection. And that's used in, like, so many different cultures. There's that. And then I think there's still people who just don't understand that, like, I love nature. I love harnessing the energy around me, the wind, the, you know, like, all of it. Mm-hmm. I feel it. It's not evil in and of itself. Like, energy is energy.
Right.
It's what your intention is that makes it positive or negative.
I agree with that. In so many different ways, too. Even outside of witchcraft, I think, you know, energy is really around us all the time, and you can harness it in many different ways. Now, Holly, what is the difference then between witchcraft and Wicca?
The main difference is that witchcraft is a path that doesn't actually have to involve a religion, where Wicca is a pagan religion. And, you know, a lot of people practice witchcraft and they don't call on to deities and gods and goddesses, where in the Wiccan belief, they do have a god or goddess that they work with. And so they do harness you know, or work with specifically. And it's ritual and a lot of practice, just like any other religion would be.
When you practice witchcraft, do you have like an organized group that you get together with, like you would with a religion, like a more traditional, you know, go into church and you see the same people at church every week? Do you have that sort of community?
I know Jen does, and sometimes I actually go and get involved with her community. I'm more of a solitary practitioner, although I do like company. I'm very private in my practice, private in, you know, in my ritual, what I do, the things that I do, because a lot of it is involved in my home. My work is, you know, doing what's best for my family. I am, you know, put magic in my cooking. I do a lot of herbalism, and I do things for people outside of the home too. But I know for me, my witchcraft is very solitary, except for when I'm doing it with others and my kids.
And Jen, yours is a little bit different, isn't it? Because I was like, you have a shop.
Yes.
And I was looking that you teach some classes.
Yes.
And things as well. What is it like for you to be more involved in more of a community?
For our community is varied in beliefs and practices. And so it's basically like a group of solitary practitioners coming together to have fellowship, essentially. Mm-hmm. We do have group rituals sometimes, and we just kind of let people, like whoever decides they want to create the ritual, go with it. And we participate and kind of, you know, maybe we'll learn something new. You know, this October 31st, we're going to be having a formal Wiccan ritual. And it's going to be led by a friend of mine who has been Wiccan for as long as I've known her. And, you know, is very educated in that. And she's going to lead that for us. And if people resonate with that, she's somebody that they can learn from. What they're going to learn from me is a mishmash of everything that I have learned. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you have so many different people and you get to hear the different points of view.
Do either of you ever feel like it? I mean, this might not be the perfect analogy, but I think politics lately, you know, if you define yourself as a Democrat or Republican, you almost want to keep that secret, especially if family get togethers. Do you ever find that this is something that you kind of do keep secret? Not that you're ashamed of it by any means. I don't think being a Republican or a Democrat should be anything you should be ashamed of, but just in certain company, you don't know how you'll be perceived. Yeah. Do you experience that?
For myself, I own a shop. I am the village witch. I am out. It doesn't matter. Like, I am not quiet about who I am, what I do, but I know that there are people who are, and I respect that, because when there are a lot of people that don't understand, and when people don't understand something, it scares them. And so if they see somebody walking around and they've got like a pentacle or something visible, people are like, oh no, oh, they're, you know, and they get
worshiping
scared.
The devil.
And then when they're scared, they're like staring daggers at you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's negativity that most people don't want or need. And so they will keep quiet about it.
How do you feel, Holly?
I think for me, because of how long I've been doing this, I am very open. I'm very boisterous to begin with. And, you know, I'm an educator at heart. So I want people to understand, especially since there is so much stigma, because of the media and whatever, making, you know, witches look like these evil things. Mm-hmm. I'm very open about my path and my practice, and, you know, I do talk a lot more about indigenous things, but, you know, the witchcraft is still a part of me. And I don't think I've ever felt the need to hold it back, because I think that's one of the biggest things, even as a kid, that got me in trouble. So
See, we were kind of taught to keep things that were out of the ordinary quiet. Like, okay, so going back to my grandmother and her being very, very Catholic, she would predict things in the family. And I would say, Graham, you're psychic. And she'd say, oh, God forbid. Because you're not allowed to be Catholic and psychic.
Right. Doesn't go together.
Right. And so she thought that that was something bad that she was supposed to not talk about.
Have either of you seen over the years the perceptions from other people change? You know, does it feel like you had to keep it more quiet before than you, or maybe you found a community to be more open with? Have you found that it's changed over the years at all? I'll start with you, Holly.
For me, I think it has. I mean, I grew up, it was very isolated, very, you know, Italian and Irish Catholic community. So a lot of things weren't like open. I remember, you know, going to tarot readers and stuff as a kid and going down little alleys and stuff like that. And you couldn't tell people where you were going. But now, you know, when I'm out and about, like I was in Gettysburg this past weekend, and they have tarot readers and astrologers on the main street. And that's something I never saw as a kid. You know, they have their signs up, even like Gen Shop, places like that. You had to know where to go. You had to, you know, people had to tell you how to find them.
And that's true, Jen. Like when you started your shop, how long have you had that going?
I bought the shop 2 years ago. So we're going into our third year.
So that would have been a huge step for you to, because that does put you right out in the open. You have a business. And have you seen over the years how people have reacted a little differently?
Yes, it is a lot more mainstream. Like even in my home life, like when I was a teenager and my mom kind of knew what I was into. Cause I mean, we lived in the same place and she would see the books that I brought home and that kind of thing. And she never really said anything to me about it. Like she never expressed any kind of problem with it, but she just never talked about it until I was an adult. And then she would tell me about things that she was learning, like, oh, I'm studying Buddhism. And I'm like, great. How's that going for you? You know what I mean? Like, and so, and now it's just, it seems like it's much more mainstream. Some aspects, there are still some religions within paganism that are very heavily witchcraft oriented that do still have like a closed practice where you don't know where they are or who they are unless they really want you to.
Now, Holly, and I'm going to ask you both the same question. How do you use witchcraft in your daily life? And are there rituals that you do every day or maybe weekly? Or are there just some times you're just a grandma and it doesn't play in at all? How do you incorporate it into your life?
Well, I think like every little thing I do, I try to add magic to in some way or another, whether it's, I used to be a big coffee drinker, but now I drink more tea. So when I'm making a cup of tea, I intentionally stir it and, you know, put in intentions for positivity and health and happiness. Yeah, I do the same thing when I'm cooking. I pick specific herbs because of different properties and different health benefits. And, you know, that's every day for me. Now when I'm with my grandson, I'm just a mammy. You know, we play, we run, we, you know, sing nursery rhymes and all of that. But at the same time, I'm hoping and I'm trying to invoke happiness and healthiness to him, because I think it's something very important that the children especially have a safe place to go and know that they can always go to that. And I think that's its own form of magic.
What about you, Jen?
I agree with everything Holly just said. I do the same thing with my coffee, with my tea, with my food. It's stirring it clockwise and imparting everything I want to impart to it. Like the water that I make my coffee with, I will be filling up the Keurig going, this water is love. Filling up and just... that's just part of everyday life. It's, I do things magically. I do things with intention. Everything I create for my shop is with intention. It's got magic in it. When people walk in the door, they take a deep breath and they're like, oh, I feel better already. That's magic.
And isn't that kind of magic is also living with, you know, trying to think positively. And I think we all kind of do that every day. You know, if we kind of wish it into existence, or, you know, we think good thoughts, or we try to acknowledge being grateful and those things, I think a lot of us do that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't say, oh, that's witchcraft, but it's kind of, there's some similarities, isn't there?
Oh, there's absolutely similarities. People are performing witchcraft or spells, or maybe they call it a prayer. Basically, it's the same thing. You're sending out your intention to God, the universe, creator, for a desired result. That's a spell.
What I find so interesting, because you're right, we all do that. And even if it's through prayer. But then when, as soon as you say spell, somebody's like, oh, that's obviously, that's got some dark magic associated with it. When it's not the case.
Right.
You know, you're hoping for, you know, everything everyone else is hoping for. You want healthy children, healthy grandchildren, a good life. You want your day to go well.
Right. And so in what I do, if I feel like I want to do something for someone, I will ask them, would you like me to do this? Or is it okay if I do this? Even when it comes down to the positive things, if I feel like somebody needs healing energy, I ask them, is it okay if I send you some healing energy? I've never once had somebody ask me if it was okay if they prayed for me.
Right. They, in fact, normally people just say, I will pray for you. They don't ask you. They'll just say, you know, if you're you're having some, you know, I've had some health issues recently. It was, I'm not really health issues, but I had a hip replacement. And I had several people on Facebook say, I'll pray for you and for good healing, and great.
Yeah. My daughter went through that. She had a brain surgery for the second and third time when she was 15. And, you know, she's very adamant about, you know, the fact that she is pagan and she does her witchcraft. And, you know, she said to a bunch of people, you know, I appreciate it, but I would rather, instead of you praying for me, you just send me good intentions. Because it made her uncomfortable for people to be saying, I'll pray for you, because she, to her, that prayer didn't hold the same weight as their good intentions would.
And I think for a lot of people, that's the same. It's like, well, that's what I'm praying for, because they don't mean any ill will by it.
Right.
You know, but it's kind of a similar thing as what you do.
Right.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Holly Faust and Jen Plastini about demystifying witches. For more information on them, you can find links to their websites in the show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.